Oh, would you look at that? It worked. First try.
Let me get this mic over here. All right, cool. So we're on. And we are going to do stuff. And we already have Jason running, I think. Let's see. Or no, I'm getting accounts on other, or DMs on other accounts, I think. Yeah. Oh, I thought I got a DM. I guess I didn't, did I? Okay, so we are on the air. This is a new installation of Windows, so things are probably going to be a little rough this go. But we are going to do what we do. Let's do a bed. It would be helpful if I enabled shuffle, I think. Alt. Here we go. Order. Shuffle tracks. Alright. So, what's up, everybody? This is a jar. And you are listening to a jar as well. I had a... something cool I was going to show you guys. So, for those of you who use virtual machines, specifically Mac virtual machines, you will know that certain features of Mac virtual machines are disabled, such as iMessage, FaceTime, and all that other stuff. Well, I have a probably not quite so... Let's see. I'm gonna change. Okay, we have a DM, I think. So we have a virtual machine here that I'm now going to boot. And you will get to see what is so special about it. So as usual, you can DM TBR on live or mention on Twitter. I am gonna go on Team Talk here. I will be on tt.tbrn.net. On the on-air channel. Rika says that she is listening to me booting my machine. Virtual machine, that is. This should be booted, so I'm gonna just hit Command F5. Maybe we're gonna have the same problem. It's booted. So why? Why do we not have voiceover? Oh dear. A DM. I don't think we're gonna have luck with this. Sad. Me and my luck. Aw, yeah. I guess shut down and start again. Okay, boot again. Like I said before, if you want to chat, you can DM TBR in live, or you can go on tt.tbrn.net default ports. I'm in the on-air channel. And we have a joiner, I think. It's Bianca. Hey, Bianca. Oh, I don't think you're routed. Hold up. I don't think I did this right. Focus, voice meter. Okay. Now, I think you're gonna hear yourself, but my setup doesn't allow for...
Okay.
I would have to
get... Am I routed yet?
Yeah, it should be. Let me just check that.
Okay. I'm echoing as well.
Yep, you're on. Cool. Let's see. I am trying to get a Mac virtual machine to boot so I can show people this fun thing I did. But, as usual, I'm not having any luck. Even though it was working before, how odd.
Yeah, I'm echoing back.
Yeah, you are indeed. I wish I had like a mixer so I could fix that, but... Okay. Either this is going through the wrong sound card. Let's see. Oh. I see. I see exactly. I got it. Here we go.
NumPad Commander on, sleep button, users scroll area. Interact with guest user, Mason Armstrong group. Enter password.
Okay, we are on the Mac. Or Mac virtual machine. Here it goes with Fred. I will slow that down.
90%. 75%. 70%. 65%. 60%. Finder. Finder busy.
And?
Finder. Oh, Captain Rico, I take room.
J-Bird's coming. J-Bird!
And? I think he has no audio.
I have audio now!
And you're looping.
Whoa! Yeah,
this is gonna be a problem, Mason.
Yeah, that is gonna be a problem. I just don't have a fix for that problem. Unless you want me to not route through the channel, which I could do.
You put everything on push to talk.
Oh, yeah, I could. But then you wouldn't hear what's going on at all times.
Da-da.
Isn't there a way to do this through cables?
I don't know.
I've never done it before.
I've never done it
testing.
With cables.
Testing?
Yeah, there you go. The only way I've ever
home
done
it. Home button down the bottom of the phone.
The only way I've ever done this properly is through my Mac, which of course I could switch to that, but
Yeah, if more people come on, you're gonna have a problem.
Yeah. Fun times.
And right-click, stop, and right-click with the title of volume. You are totally in a volume.
Hello, Fred!
Yeah, that would be your good friend Fred on a virtual machine. Wow, that's actually in sync. Well, not anymore, but it was.
On TBRN.
Yeah, TBRN. The Beyond Radio Network.
No. Camp Brito. Bye.
And as usual, I have no idea what to stream. So we're just going to.
Am I a bit on the loud side?
Yeah, you are. I don't know if it's just me.
A bit.
Let me see if I can stop transmitting. Turn that down.
Turn it down. Aw, yeah. Oh, you're on a Mac as well, Jason?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I'm still transmitting? What?
Oh, are you on iOS?
Yeah, I'm on iOS.
Huh. I would have never guessed.
What'd you say?
I would have never guessed you were on iOS.
Well, I'm gonna go and listen to this stream.
Testing?
Because hearing myself is not amazing.
Yeah, testing!
Yeah, there you go.
Is that much better?
As long as you talk loud like that, yeah.
This is a test.
There you go. It works. Great. And Bianca just died. So, if anyone has any magnificent stream ideas, let me know, because right now I have nothing. This is... I don't even know what this song thingy is. Ah, yes. This. See, it's weird, because if I stream often like this, I have nothing to do. Because it's just like I did everything already. Jason Smith added 5 files to my Dropbox.
Good God, they're just now getting to you?
Yeah, I don't have the best of nets.
Hello, Mac.
Yeah, that's a Mac VM.
Application. Application. Voice red. Race. Bruce. Ops. Voice red in.
Alex. Automator application. May 8, 2015-1139.
Mind you, that's a Mac VM with full messages support and stuff.
I actually have a real Mac sitting in my closet. Hadn't been used in a long time.
I have a real Mac too. It's sitting up on that desk over there.
Calculate calendar application. Chess application. Contact application. Dashboard application. Dictionary application. DVD player application. FaceTime application. Vision application. Fontbook application. Game Center application, iBooks application, Image Capture application, iTunes application, Launchpad application.
In theory, I should be able to use all those applications. Fun.
Yeah.
Maps application, messages application, mission control application.
Because someone spoofed it into thinking it's a real MacBook.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
What's it running in VMware Player?
Workstation, but it could run in Player.
Right.
Night Owl application, notes application, August 2, Night Owl.
I do have Night Owl on here, not the best Twitter Mac choice, but.
Notes application, photo booth, photos, preview application, QuickTime player, reminders application, Safari application, Skype application, Sticky Zap.
And for whatever reason, I have Skype on here, don't ask why.
System preference, text edit application, time machine application, utilities folder, October 2, 2015.
This is still running El Capitan, but I'm sure I can upgrade it.
Yeah. Actually, I think my Mac hasn't been used in so long that it's still running Yosemite.
I'm almost thinking about downgrading my Mac to like 11 or 9, because those are my favorite versions. I wish I could get, like, Mac virtual machines or something for versions 10.6, 5, and 4.
Notification center. Updates available.
I know.
You are currently on attacked element.
I can't use...
Image. Do you want to restart to install later menu? Later menu button. You are current. Restart button. You are currently on the button. Press restart button. Notification. Application. Total. Alert. Dialog. Some updates need to finish. Download and restart. Notification center. Turn on image. You are currently on it. You will be asked before install. Turn on. Turn on button. Not now button. You press not now. Finder. Applications. Win.
What's weird about this virtual machine is I have to use numpad commander because if I use control option arrows and control option space, control option space will have to be pressed twice in order for it to be registered.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I don't know why. I wonder if that's somewhere in VMware that I can change that.
I don't know.
I wonder if it's like a modifier or something. Or I wonder if it's like a VMware key. I'm gonna look at that now. There's preferences I think I can change. Input. Well, okay, here's what I found.
What was the date of the show that was all music because you just had what you thought was a hard drive crash? And was that January 15th?
It
probably was.
I honestly don't remember the dates of the shows. I don't keep track of that kind of stuff.
Because I think in my own personal archives via WGET, what I have is 114. But I don't think that was right.
Let's see what the date was on that day. Like, Let me open up this.
Hard drive crash was
that would have been
definitely
a
Saturday night.
Yeah, the Saturday night was the 14th, but the...
Yeah.
The actual
because
show was on
the 15th. Remember you... You said that despite the hard drive crash that had just happened, the show will go on as scheduled.
Yeah. Now,
and that was Sunday afternoon.
What had actually happened was the hard drive didn't crash at all. The USB driver decided it was going to break.
Aha!
And I only found this out a couple days ago. And boy was I mad.
I bet.
But now Seagate's working just fine.
Of course. So now you have a good backup of everything. Since you thought you were making a copy to try to save it.
Yeah.
From destruction.
When in reality there was no destruction there. Problem is, I lost a couple hundred gigabytes worth of data because I didn't have enough space to back up absolutely everything. Now, let's see. What was I doing before I went...
But it should have still been on your Seagate.
No, because I actually formatted that drive.
Oh!
And the only reason I did that was because I had files on there that I wanted to get rid of that couldn't be deleted by a standard Windows operation.
Oh!
Yeah.
So you actually did lose some stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that important.
Name. List view table. Preview application. August 22/2015/7/23. Name. 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 Preview application. Row preview application. Row one expanded. You are currently in a text element inside of a scroll area. To stop interacting with the scroll area, press Control Option Shift up arrow.
I just had to change the release button from Control Alt to Control Windows. Now Control Alt Space works. I figured it was something like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because Control Alt normally is released back to your native OS.
This kind of sounds like absolutely not, but I don't think it is. It's got the same exact brass line, but everything else is different. How weird.
Huh.
Let's see what this is actually called. It's called Have a Dishwasher? Okay, then.
Okay!
I have a dishwasher, but it don't work.
Photos application. August 23.
Yeah, let's take some photos, Jason.
Photo booth application. Notes application. Night owl application.
Oh, yeah.
Why are all my apps in reverse alphabetical order?
Notes application. Photo booth application. Notes app. Photo preview. Quick remote. Safari application. Skype application. Stickies application. System preferences. Text edit application.
I'm not sure what happened there.
Name. Row 1 expand. Text edit application. Text edit application. Time. Utility folder.
Oh, fixed it.
Time. Text edit application. August 22/2015. Open. Text edit. Open window. Untitled. Rich text document. Finder.
God.
Spotlight.
What?
T. Burmy. Tech. Fi- Termy. Text deleted.
I don't know. There's that. Boop, boop, Termo. Mason.
Hey. Space. Space. I. L. O.
Hello.
Yep.
P.
Yeah.
New line.
I want once used that voice back years ago and just typed a bunch of total gibberish just to see what it would do with words that it couldn't possibly pronounce. But of course it did find a way.
You know what you can do? You can change the key it sings in. Like,
zero.
For example,
new line.
Huh. I assume you know that. I don't know exactly what song that is, but it's some sort of funeral march or funeral dirge or something.
Yeah, it is a real song.
Yes, you know, it's hard to sing when you're hearing yourself a few notes behind.
Yeah. Man, I wish I could fix that stupid Mac. Or not stupid Mac, but stupid Windows and its routing options. You need to have a mixer or your routing will be non-existent. Cars on TV. Have fun.
Carrot B.
Carrot B?
B left.
Oh yeah, because I'm in terminal. I think I can even change what rate it's
left, left, right, right, space, rate, zero, right, right, space, a, new line.
Now he's drunk.
Yeah.
Now,
left, left, all, e, space, right, zero, zero, right, 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 space, new line.
Just AA. How boring.
That's all you can say, AA. Whatever.
They need more of those novelty voice things.
I just had some barbecue pizza.
Oh boy. How fun.
Meat lover's type pizza.
I see. Welcome to the Dead Air Show, where all you hear is dead air.
You know, sometimes Christmas Automation can be like that when he's waiting for someone else to come on, or just waiting to do stuff, or...
Oh, yeah?
Like, when you did your... Oh, I guess it was your second show. After it was over, Derek came on with Christmas Automation. But, there wasn't anything going on at first. And so I actually wrote a tweet or something and said, you know, it says some sort of song name on the title bar, but it's a silent night over here.
Caps lock on? I don't want caps lock on. What do you want? Oh.
Carrot B. B. Left bracket. New line.
Would it be funny if I installed Logic on here and watched it fail miserably?
I've been having fun with Reaper over the past few weeks.
Oh yes, Reaper is definitely fun.
F. Left bracket. B.
F.
B.
F.
F. New line.
I don't want F. Rika says that she remembers you also had meat lover pizza on the match game day.
Yes, I did. It was leftover, but I did. That was fun.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't think I was around for that.
No, I mean, you weren't. I don't think you were. You weren't a contestant. I don't know if you were listening to TBRN at that time or if you, or anything, but...
Wasn't that back in June?
Sign-ups were May. The deadline was June 1st. The actual game was in July.
Ah. Oh, she says she remembered it because she also had a meat lover pizza and it was a funny coincidence.
Wow.
Funny thing, the Packmate has a MIDI synth. I didn't know this until yesterday, and it's actually not that bad.
The Packmate has a MIDI synth. I have never even seen a Packmate.
Or any of these new note takers. I've seen a Packmate. I've also seen a Braille Note Touch. Which, of course, has a MIDI synth because it's Android.
Yeah.
And then the voice synths and Braille synths have MIDI synth.
So I don't assume you want to code up Hard Drive Crash Simulator.
Well, that wouldn't be too hard. Just spacebar with a hammer and there you go. Crash your hard drive. I need to, one of these days, I need to come up with a project I want to code. And then just do a coding show. Like where I start with like sounds and then I code the game or whatever I'm coding. And then you can just watch it build up and stuff like that.
You are a user and you are trying to recover important data which is stored in various places on the hard drive. You have to walk around the hard drive looking for important data to pick up. But all around you've got all these bad sectors and there's always a possibility of a head crash and you know, if there is a head crash, you could get either moved around somewhere or, you know, lose some health points or some of your data's gone.
Yeah, and we can call this game Super Data Recovery.
Yeah!
That's brilliant. Oh. It'd be funny if I got permission from Aaron Baker to use a Adventure at Sea colon sounds.
Oh, man! God.
And Rika says, did I just hear the word MIDI synth? I think I just woke up.
No, you did hear the word MIDI synth.
About 5 minutes ago.
Two or three minutes ago.
This is the Mason and Jason Show, brought to you in part by Mason and Jason.
Yeah. And broadcast over TBRN, the Beyond Radio Network.
No, it's the Beyond Radio Network.
Oh, okay.
That'd be funny if it was like TBRN.not.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see if that Mac is downloading those updates. Yeah, it is. At a whopping 1.27 megs a second. It sucks that we can only get satellite internet down here.
Good God, that's all you can get?
Apparently. And in fact, I knew I had better net than that, but that's all we got right now. The song fades to blackness.
We, years ago, started being able to get fiber internet down in our Southern Kentucky country home. And that was a good thing because that house was just outside the range from which the phone company would offer DSL over its analog lines. And there is no cable, period, closed subject. So satellite would have been the only other option.
Yeah, satellite is bad. They need to put more, like, thingies where you can get internet in places.
Well, I guess at least it's not dial-up.
Yeah, but what we were getting a couple months ago is close enough to that.
Remember those days?
Yeah, we used to use that dial-up on Windows 98 back in 2002 or 1 or 3 or 4. Or all of the above. It was a big old desktop computer with one of those TV-looking monitor things with built-in speakers.
Oh, yeah! I don't know that I ever had a monitor with built-in speakers, but I do remember the big old CRT monitors.
Yeah, every monitor we had had
built-in
speakers.
Had to lug those things around.
Oh, yeah. Every monitor we had had built-in speakers, except for after we got real speakers, like computer speakers. And then we just used those instead of the built-in ones. Funny thing is, though, the built-in ones were better than any computer speakers we could have had at that time.
Well, they probably had a better cabinet with that big old monitor.
Yeah, I think so. And then there's computers that have volume knobs. Like, I saw an old Toshiba the other week that had... It was a laptop, and it had a volume knob on the bottom left-hand side.
Oh, weird!
Yeah, it looked like your volume knob that you would see on, like... It was like a dial. Like, it looked like a wheel. Kind of. It wasn't like a knob, but it was like a wheel dial with the ridges in it.
Yeah.
And you could just, like, slide it all day long. Now, its adjustments weren't very fast, so you had to sit there and hammer it for a couple minutes to get it down, but it was sure there.
Yeah. We have some Dell keyboards that have volume wheels on them.
Oh, yeah. Mechanical keyboards do have those. I've seen them. But those wheels actually click. This wheel didn't. It was like a wheel. I don't know how the heck it did what it did, but... Funny thing is, that computer I was looking at, I would have been surprised if it didn't have a floppy drive, but it didn't. It just looks so old.
Would it have a 10 megabyte hard drive?
No, it had like a 256 gig hard drive, which wasn't bad for its time, honestly. Four gigs I ran with a dual core, was it Celeron or Pentium? I think it was a Pentium.
My current Dell laptop has 128 gig SSD, which I just use for programs and stuff.
Authentication, and login panel, window, user, image. Authentication has new window. You are currently on an image.
Shush. There you go.
You need to log in. Authentication, authentication.
So you were at 8 gigs of RAM?
Yeah.
And what processor?
And I have a 4... Oh, like a 2.6 or 7 gigahertz. Oh, I think quad core or something like that.
Mine's around
it's
that.
Nice.
Mine's got a 256 gig hard drive, 8 gigs of RAM. It has a... The processor is dual core, but it's hyper-threaded to a quad core. 2.5 gigahertz, which it can sometimes get up to 3, depending on what you're doing. And, 8 gigs of RAM, of course.
Yeah. And I have a USB hard drive enclosure with a 4 terabyte SATA drive in it.
Oh, wow.
And another 4 terabyte standing by as a backup drive.
Nice. I have a... Where was I going? I don't even know what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you notice, like, the standard about 4 years ago were computers with 4 gigs of RAM. Now they're going to 8 gigs of RAM. Next thing you know, it'll be 16.
Yeah.
Which, in a way, is nice, but at the same time, it isn't nice because that just shows what the demand for is for RAM these days.
Yeah, and how programs just use memory like... There's no tomorrow.
Yeah, on this laptop, I was running a Windows 10 Insider build, and I was never using anything less than 4 gigs of RAM at all times with nothing open.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, a bit much, right, Microsoft? Right?
Yeah. I'm still running 7, Home Premium.
You lucky duck.
SP1.
I wish I could take this Dell down to that, because this is running Windows 10, because it came with that. Did yours come with 10, or did yours come with 7?
No, mine came with 7.
Man, you're so lucky. I could probably download this to 8.1 if I tried.
Yeah.
But I have to disable, like, secure boot and stuff like that. Which would be in the BIOS, I bet.
Yeah.
But I did some stuff to make it run better, so it's running pretty good right now. Not complaining.
Yeah.
Whoa. I think my mic kind of just shocked me there. That was weird. Motif drum kit.
And this Team Talk connection is brought to you by my iPhone 6S Plus and a pair of Bose Quiet Comfort 35 Bluetooth noise canceling headphones, but not used on Bluetooth because Team Talk won't work with it.
Oh boy. Yeah. Most Bluetooth headphones these days come with an analog connector.
Yeah. Now this analog connector uses a strange plug.
How so?
It's, like, thinner than the standard mini plug. You know, the jack on the headphones themselves is a strange jack.
Hmm.
And, it, of course, comes with a cable.
Yeah, but you can't just exchange it. You'd have to actually make sure that cable don't break.
Yeah, or buy a replacement. From Bose.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you could just stick any old patch cable in there.
Right. But other than that, they are excellent headphones.
Oh, yeah. The headphones I have are actually...
They're also very expensive.
Oh, yeah? How much was it?
like $350.
Oh my god. What's so special about them that makes them that expensive?
Well, they're... I mean, obviously one thing about it is they're bows. And partly you're paying for the bow's name. But they have the noise cancellation and Bluetooth. And they're really nice headphones.
How does that work?
Noise cancellation? It has microphones that pick up noise that's in the room. And they put into your ears, along with the sound you want to hear, they put that noise they're picking up in reverse phase, so that the real noise and the noise it puts in cancel each other out.
I don't think that would work very well, because the noise that mic would pick up would probably not be identical to the noise you hear. There's just no way that's gonna work. I never think that would work.
Well, it does.
I don't see how.
I can be like in a room with a central system running, and I put on headphones and I hear kind of the rumbly bass from the central system. Turn that noise canceling on, and that bass is gone.
Weird. That is so weird. I would be interested to try that. Not spend $350 on it, but if someone has some around here, I should look at it. Because
Evan Doorbell actually got me turned on to those. Well, to noise canceling in the first place. We went out and ate one day, and he showed me a recording he had, and he had a pair of noise canceling headphones, and I was commenting about, God, these are so quiet. And he was like, yeah, they're noise canceling.
So it can cancel out a crowd in a room?
Well, I don't know that I've ever tried it in actually a crowd, but we were in a restaurant where there was just, you know, soft restaurant ambience going on. And I mean, it cut most of it out.
That's really interesting.
It is.
I would like to have something like that where you can like turn on and off the outside noise. Now, for me it wouldn't really work very well because I just have my microphone on listen anyways.
Yeah.
Rika says her old Windows 4 gigs of RAM Asus is running Windows 10. Oh my. I wouldn't run Windows 10 on anything that has less than 4 gigs of RAM, to be honest with you. Interestingly enough.
So you wouldn't run Windows 10 on an Apple IIe?
Oh, yeah, right. Totally, I would run Windows 10 on an Apple IIe. That sounds like a really great idea. Hey, we should try that. Jaws for Apple is ready. With an Echo Speech synthesizer.
Yes.
Press Enter to start Windows normally.
Yeah.
Windows was unable to start because you do not have enough RAM in the system.
Yeah. Your hard drive has just crashed. Please press return to reformat it. Warning, all data will be lost.
Lost.
And it would have actually said lost.
Well, I guess that's one way to go. Your data has... That's funny.
There's this program called BEX for the Apple. The word processor, braille translation, etc. And when you wanted to initialize a disk, which is Apple's equivalent of formatting it, it would say something like, it would go something like, beep, 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 warning, 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 initializes and totally erases your disk. Do you want to proceed, white? And then if you said yes, it would say, put disk to be initialized in drive to press the space bar. So it was really, it was actually pretty bad speech, but back then it's all we had.
Yeah, I find the Echo to be an interesting synth.
It is.
It's cool how they kind of hooked into that Echo speech synthesizer with that typing tester game. Or that typing game, whatever it was.
Talking typer, not talking typer. The talking disc one, the typing game.
Yeah.
That's what they did, was just have it change pitches.
Yeah, but it's interesting how they managed to hook into the synth to do that.
Yeah, you just sent control E, number P, you know, where it was two digits from 0 to 63. And that was how it changed the pitch of the Echo.
Oh.
And you would just send that as if you were printing it to the screen, but the text talker software would intercept it. So it wouldn't actually get printed.
I see.
It's just like in BASIC, the way you told DOS to do a command was to print a control D and then write your command. Now, you didn't have to do that when you were just at the basic command line, but in a program, you would do like print CHR $ left paren for right paren, comma, quote, run my wonderful program, quote.
That's interesting. I wonder how they, like, managed to get an Echo to run under Windows like that, like, emulated.
Well, what happened was they... You mean on the... They emulated the Apple computer.
They probably had to use assembly.
Well, but I mean, what I mean is that they, I assume you were talking about the Mess Apple thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that Mess was a program. It's been merged with MAME now. But it would actually emulate the Apple IIe hardware, and they actually added the emulation of the Texas Instruments speech chip that the Echo uses.
They added that, or somebody else did?
Well, I mean, somebody did. And that wasn't even at my request. I had been wanting an Apple emulator with Echo emulation for years. And I finally found out that Mess had it. And I'm like, wow, we can actually play these games the way they were meant to be played.
And how did people start getting ROMs of these discs? Like, how did they make the discs so that they were a file instead of a disc?
Well, that's pretty easy if you... If someone has Apple hardware, you just have this program running on the Apple that images the disk and either sends it over a serial port or saves it to a file system on a flash card that you can then transfer over to your compute, you know, PC or something. There's actually a program called Apple Disk Transfer. One part runs on the Apple, the other part runs on Windows or DOS or whatever, and you use a serial connection, and you can either transmit a disk, an image from the Apple to the PC, where it just reads the disk and sends the PC the image of it, or you can do the reverse, where the PC sends the Apple an image and it writes it to the disk, erasing whatever was there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I imaged a lot of discs that way.
And did you do it just like in the hopes that you would get it as something that could run it eventually, or?
Well, I did it more just to keep them from becoming victims of bit rot more than anything.
Oh.
Because those 5 1/4-inch discs are like going on 30 years old now.
And you managed to keep all those discs for that long? Wow.
Yeah. You know, there were a few of them that may have had a few problems, but for the most part, I got most of them imaged, probably 5-10 years ago, maybe. Now, I don't have all of them.
You got a hold of an Apple IIe, then?
What?
You managed to get a hold of an Apple IIe, then?
I have an Apple IIe, a C, and a GS. The C, thanks to a local friend, and the E and GS, thanks to eBay, in 2000.
Wow.
I usually use the GS.
What's so special about it?
It's just more flexible. Well, it's got, let me pull this iPhone into the bed with me so I can... Yeah. Now I sound better. Turn it down a little bit. There we go. Okay, now the Apple 2GS has more memory. Mine has 1 megabyte on board. 1 megabyte. And 256K of ROM. And it's just more flexible. It can use 3.5-inch disk drives. Now, not 1.44 meg or 720K. It uses an Apple 800K format on double density disks. And it can use the standard 140K 5 1/4-inch floppies, which can have two sides. The E has 128K of RAM, 64K built in, and 64 additional K on an 80 column card. If you can believe this, the E actually requires a special card in a slot to give you 80 column text display.
Ew.
Otherwise, it's 40 columns.
That's crazy. That would only be GS... like 40 bytes of text.
Well, but 40 bytes times 24 lines.
Oh, yeah. Well, still, that can't be more than a couple KB.
Yeah, but don't forget that back in the late 70s, early 80s, a couple KB was a big deal.
Right. But if you say it had 64K of RAM, it should have been able to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that they would have had to have stolen that couple K from place that programmers could use.
True.
And that, you know, things were tight enough as it was because DOS was resident in RAM.
And Bill Gates said you'd only need 1 KB of RAM ever.
DOS took up about 12K or so, I'm not sure, but something like that. And, you know, you had to have places for your basic programs and various binary routines if you wanted them. Now, on the regular Apple design, the top 16K of your main memory was ROM. But they added a 16K so-called language card that you could use in a special way. So that's how they got by with saying it had 64K of RAM. Because it really did. The things were very different back then.
Oh yeah.
I think the first like Apple One computer or so had like 4K of RAM. Or maybe one of them like had 8K, and if you loaded the basic program from cassette, you had 4K for your program. Something like that. That's and yes, I do mean from cassette.
That's kind of like the equivalent to our 4GB of RAM. It's like they had 4K, we have 4GB.
Yes.
If it keeps going at that rate, we'll have 4TB of RAM soon.
Yeah, and our hard drives will be
500TB.
Huge. Yeah.
It's crazy. Then you'll be running AI off your home computer.
Yeah.
Rika says
and
her
Windows 10 will be running an emulation.
Yeah. Rika says her first computer had 4 megs of RAM and what is it? 150 megs of disk space on DOS 6.22.
My first computer of my very own that I actually owned, because I got it for Christmas in 92, had, I think, maybe either 4, no, I think it had 8 megs of RAM, like, and like an 85 meg hard drive. It was a 386 running at 33 megahertz. Wow. Now, I did have, earlier than that, a 286 with 1 meg of RAM, and for a while, it had a 40 meg hard drive.
It's crazy, because back then, that's all you really needed.
Yeah, because we didn't even have Windows at that point. It was all DOS and text-based, and like WordPerfect 5.1 took up like 7 megabytes of disk. And I mean, that was a big program by those days standards.
Oh yeah. Rika says she had WordPerfect 5.1.
Oh yeah. I love WP 5.1. If we had to copy it from one computer to another, we'd have to put it on like 5 or 6 1.44 megabyte floppies.
Jeez.
Because I didn't know how to zip it up, and even if I would have, it would have still taken several disks.
Yeah.
And I mean, don't forget, we didn't have CD-ROM. There were no zip disks. No USB, nothing.
Man, that must have been a pain.
Oh, and you had to be so careful because a lot of times you'd copy something onto a disk, take it to another computer, start to copy it, and the drive would go, and then you get that data error reading drive A, abort, retry, ignore, fail.
Ooh.
Obviously that disk has a bad sector. Gotta make another copy.
Jeez.
Oh, floppies. I mean, they were what we had, but they were sometimes they were not very reliable. If you were gonna put something on a floppy that it was critical, you needed to have multiple copies or have it copied several times on the same disk or something, because it was nothing to come up with a bad sector.
Ooh, yeah. It's kind of funny to think that CDs had more disk space than floppies did.
Oh, CDs had a ton of disk space more than floppies. Like 500, 600 times more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, for the longest time, you could only get stuff already on CD. You couldn't burn your own. I got my first CD burner for Christmas in 99. And I thought it was the biggest thing.
And back then, CD burners were separate from CD drives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a CD burner was a CD drive. But you usually had a CD burner alongside your CD reader. And before that, I'd been using for my mass storage of archival material that I didn't want to keep on my main drive. I used a jazz drive for my Omega. And that was a 1 gigabyte removable cartridge storage system. And each jazz cartridge cost like $100. So I only ever had two.
Wow,
CDs
so
were a
GD
much
for
better
$100.
Deal. Yeah. And I mean, you could only write to a CD once, but they were much, much, much cheaper. So you could even afford to throw them away from time to time.
Yeah, but then you got the problem of CDs can get scratched.
Yeah.
Rika says her first CD burner was in her old XP laptop that she got in 2006. So she got lucky and she didn't have to use a separate drive.
So we're just sitting here doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Wasting $1 million a second airtime.
Oh yeah. Totally. Yeah, I remember it was the funniest thing. It was the most awesome thing, because back in 2002, I got my first Windows 98 computer, and I didn't have software speech synthesizers were few and far between back then. And so I had a double talk, I think it was. And we were using window eyes.
Yeah. I was always a JAWS user, still am. I mean, I use NVDA for some things. But back before we got into Eloquence on Windows 7, we were always DeckTalk Express users.
I thought Eloquence was DeckTalk earlier than Express. Windows 7.
Oh, well, I mean, it was, but we just didn't use it. We
Terminal
thought we
needs
didn't
attention.
Have our...
You are currently on an image.
DeckTalk Express.
I think it would be weird having a synthesizer that wasn't directly connected to the sound card.
It kind of was. Once I got used to Eloquence, I really found I liked it. That it was connected to the sound card, and wherever I had speakers for the system, I could also hear the speech.
Right.
Which was great if I was reading a book.
Now in window, cancel button. You are currently on the button. To click this button, press Control Option Space. Three system dialogs is Mason Armstrong. User image. Enter password. And Mason Armstrong. Enter password.
Whoa.
Terminal. Mason.
Oh. What cancel?
Restart. App. System dialog. Untitled. Window. Try again. Try again. Cancel button. To quit an unresponsive app. So can try again. Default button. You finder. Terminal. Terminal. Close. Default button. You.
There it goes.
Please enter your password, followed by the Heidenröslein key.
The what key?
Oh, Heidenröslein. A German song, poem, thing.
So is that like the German word for enter?
No. It's Heidenröslein is something like Little Rose on the Heath or something like that. I always think Heath Bar. The Nothingness is brought to you by TBRN, the Beyond
Yes.
Radio Network.
Yes, exactly. Uh-oh. Oh.
Did you ever have any of the old note takers like Braille and Speak, Type and Speak, Braille Light?
I had a Braille and Speak and I saw a Braille Light. Man, the Braille and Speak used to be my favorite thing ever. I always used to like put like 99 files on the hard drive and try to make it crash. I always found it fascinating. There was a Braille and Speak with the double talk and there was a Braille and Speak with the Arctic chip.
I only ever had the one with the Arctic chip.
Technically, it was a... What is that? It was not Arctic, but it was Votrax, I think.
Votrax? It... Braille and Speak ready. Help is open.
Well, there was a whole bunch of different Braille and Speaks. There was the Braille and Speak, there was the Braille and Speak 2000, and there was the APH Scholar.
Huh.
I got to see...
And then there was...
I got to see an old Braille. What was that? A Freedom Scientific Braille display. What are those called? Focus? It was an old Focus 80 from a long time ago. And it was. The Braille sales were smaller.
Huh!
And when someone did something, when the Braille sales changed, it made this really loud sound.
Huh! I can see that. My first note taker type thing in school was a big old thing called a VersaBraille.
It was not the version
that used cassettes. It used a floppy drive. But it was this big thing you had to lug around. And it had a 20-cell display, 32K of RAM. But you didn't really want to use the RAM for much. You wanted to save your files on disk because certain operations would destroy the RAM.
Ooh. And was it that a refreshable Braille display, or was it a paper?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it was refreshable.
I wonder what it looked like back then. Were there, like, cursor routing buttons or anything?
No, there weren't cursor routing buttons under each key. I mean, under each cell.
How did you move your cursor, then?
Well, I think you just used your, like, left, right, up, and down arrows. It had a cursor pad. And it had an advance button. That would, I guess, advance to the next Braille screen. It's been so long since I've used one, I would probably figure out how to use it, but I couldn't tell you without actually seeing one.
Did it have a Braille keyboard, or was it a QWERTY keyboard?
No, it was Braille. It was rubber keys. Big old keys. Or maybe, I mean, the Braille keys were maybe a little bigger than those on, like, the Braille and Speak, but they were fat and rubbery.
Oh.
And it had a big old space bar.
I always kind of liked how the Braille and Speak's keyboard was.
Yeah. Did you ever see the APH Braille Plus?
I have one. It doesn't work anymore.
You have one.
The charger port is broken. But yes, I do have one.
Oh.
Those things are cool too. I used to use that thing all the time, yeah. Too. Have you ever seen one of them? I'm assuming you
have. Oh, yeah, we have one.
It's just the interface cable for it was so weak. Like, one little...
Yes!
And it was... You had to get a whole new either cable or a plus. Actually, the first plus I had... didn't support upgrading to the, like, my upgrades ran out, so they had to get me a whole new Braille Plus. Did you ever hear the old Blind Cool Tech podcast about the demo, like the very first prototype?
No, I didn't.
The whole interface was different back then. Like, the Braille Plus has gone through several interface changes. It's never always been the same.
Yeah, I know they made some changes in one of the later software versions. But yes, that interface cable was a weird design. I think I kind of understand why they did it, because they wanted to use the docking station concept.
Right, which was a cool concept. But and I even had a docking station, and I used it when I needed to write, like, a lot of stuff. But if you wanted to go portable... Go with if you put a refresher Braille beside a Braille Plus, and you kind of pretended like they were both the same thing, you could pass that as a note taker.
Yeah.
I mean, it was small enough, heck.
Lord, what do you think about the fact we've never heard any more about the Orbit?
I don't know.
Gonna be this big up and coming thing, and then just nothing.
I guess APH got tired of it. There is that graphing thing they're making. I wonder what the pins
yeah, but the orbit
look like on that orbit.
Wasn't just APH. I mean, they were going to be selling it, I think. And I mean, I guess they might have been like doing some of the programming and stuff, but
I wonder why they did this thing where they had the level star icon without the Braille keyboard, which was basically the same exact thing as a Braille Plus, and then they just put a Braille keyboard on it and called it a new product. That was kind of weird to me.
I don't know. APH did that a lot. APH does that a lot. See, they have the book port line of
digital
talking book players and recorders. And they are based off the PlexTalk line of products.
I've never seen a PlexTalk, but I wonder how similar they are in design.
Well, the BookPort Plus,
I have one.
Is
of those. I've seen it.
Virtually the same thing as the PlexTalk Pocket. They have different voices. Prompt voices. The BookPort line has actual human APH narrator voices, whereas the PlexTalks use a synthesizer for its pre-recorded voices.
Yeah. And I wonder if they look the same. Have you seen both products?
Oh, the BookPort Plus and the PlexTalk Pocket, except for very minor case differences, are exactly the same. They have pretty much the same features, virtually the same case.
I wonder why
exact same button layout.
That's weird that they would do that. I think I would prefer a Victor, because the Victor can do a lot of stuff, especially with the second generation one.
Yeah, now I like the Victor Streams NLS better. There are some books that the PlexTalk stuff and even the Bard Mobile iOS app, they read it okay, but it doesn't sound as good as it does on either the Victor Stream or the NLS Digital Talking Book Player.
Does the NLS Digital Talking Book Player have a synthesizer? Or do you have to put an audiobook in there?
No, it's audio only.
Because I've seen one of those. I used to use it, but it was large.
Oh, yeah. It's a big piece of equipment.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was nothing. The size was not really a problem, but it was just kind of... Big.
Actually, it runs Linux.
Rika says she had a Power Braille,
probably
her favorite Braille display of all times. What made that thing so special? I'm curious.
Probably all of these digital talking book players run Linux or some variation.
Yeah, I bet you they would. It's crazy how you can build such a diverse thingy off of one operating system, like a terminal-based operating system, and you build a book player off it.
Yeah. Or I had a crazy idea last year to build a musical doorbell off a Raspberry Pi. Never ended up happening, but...
You can do it. I'm sure it's possible
with
some coding and some sound card setup.
Oh, yeah. But what you would need is, you know, a box for everything to go in and a keypad to change, like, what tune it played or whatever. And the button to ring it and speakers throughout the house to play, you know.
Yeah. I don't know how you would code something like that. Manuel Cortez, did you ever hear of that guy? Who's doing the Raspberry Pi based note taker?
Wow, Raspberry Pi note taker.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's like got a menu system and it's got a word processor.
Well, does it have a music composer? Like the Eureka A4, which I, by the way, have never seen.
I don't think so. I've never seen one of those things either. I've heard somebody use it. I've just never seen it. Nick is saying, think about what any operating system is, a foundation for stuff to run off of. Yeah, I knew that. It's just, I just find it fascinating how you can run, how you can build so much advanced stuff off an operating system that's so different than what you're trying to build.
Yeah.
DM. Nick says if you can build it and run it, you can compile it. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So one day they'll have a grandfather clock that runs on Linux.
I think everything's kind of moving on Linux. Even Windows with a bash shell.
Yeah. I have an old outdated Linux box running Gentoo. But
I
then
wish I had a box I
have
could
a
just
Linode.
Linux on. Cause
what were you
going like
to say?
I was saying I wish I had a box that I could run Linux off of because I like the Mate desktop interface. But I don't think I could use it as my main OS.
Right. I need to do a new Linux box. I do not like eSpeak. That's my main problem with modern day.
It still works on Ubuntu 16, and it will. It only costs $5, and it's the latest version of Eloquence.
Wow.
Yeah, I had it. I actually got it for my when I had Linux on my Mac. And it ran great.
Cool.
And of course, if you don't like Eloquence, there's those other things like Flight and stuff, which aren't much better.
Oh, Eloquence is my favorite software synth.
Mine too.
I mean, possibly aside from DeckTalk. The old DeckTalks, thank you very much. I do not like DeckTalk 4.61 or anything after that.
Okay, I don't know what Nick means by this, so I'm not going to repeat that out loud, but yeah. So Rika comes back with the Power Braille stuff. She says it was very fast and responsive, and the keys were well situated. That's interesting. I wish they had like a museum of old note takers in history like that. That'd be really awesome. I would
love
that.
JJ Meadow was trying to start a site called athistory.org, and it has a little stuff on it.
Yeah, but it's nothing like actually going and seeing and messing around with and
seeing the actual hardware. Yeah.
I mean, you can tell me all about it all you want, but that won't really douse my curiosity any.
No, I know. It's like you can tell me about all the old phone systems all you want. But I still wish I could actually go and see one.
Yeah. I guess I was hallucinating, but I thought I got a DM and I guess I didn't. Now I did get an EM. I heard it that time. Rika asks, have I seen a reverse braille? No, but you were just talking about that, weren't you, Jason?
Yeah, I was talking about the Versa Braille 2 and 2 Plus. Now, what I would love to see and use is an old tape-based Versa Braille.
How big was the Versa Braille? Was it like tapes? Was it like huge, or was it like the size of a Perkins Brailler, or was it like the size of an old desktop machine, or bigger than that?
Oh, how do I describe it? You probably wouldn't know how big like an Apple IIe is.
No, because I've never seen one.
Not as big as an old desktop. Bigger than a laptop. Bigger than a modern laptop. I don't know. Now, this is the 2 and 2 Plus we're talking about here. I don't even know how big a tape-based Versa Braille is. What would it be? Oh, I think it was a little bigger than... Oh, but you probably hadn't seen one of these. The old APH desktop cassette recorders, 4-track.
Nope, I've never seen one of those either.
Wow. Those were just so common in our household. We had a ton of them.
And then I used to use an old Braille Note Empower before I got my Apex, which... You know, honestly, I liked the Empower better. And I'll tell you why. Because it didn't crash as much.
Huh.
And it restarted
faster,
too.
See, the Versa Braille was bigger than... an NLS digital talking book player, I'm pretty sure. It's been years since I've seen one, so... You know, it might not be as big as I thought. Sometimes, when you're all grown up and you go back and look at something, you're like, wow, that's not as big as I thought it was.
Yeah, that does happen. See, there's not much history behind me. I don't have much stories to tell, but, you know.
Yeah. I remember when I was like 5 years old, I thought picking up and carrying a Library of Congress cassette player, which is just nothing, was, you know, real heavy, and a Perkins Brailler was just impossible.
Yeah. You know what I did one time? I was mad for I don't know what reason, and I pushed a Perkins Brailler off a desk.
Oh my god.
I know it. I think the thing broke. Those things are so fragile.
Well, I used to think as a kid that a Perkins Brailler was like made out of glass or something.
I never thought that, but I just didn't want one dropped on my foot.
Dropped it, it would shatter.
It might as well have. I don't know why, in all these years, they haven't come up with a better design for the Perkins Brailler. I mean, come on, it can't be hard.
Saw one of the
it can't be that hard
Kramer to make Brailler.
You can just carry around, feed a piece of paper into, and just braille on it. I mean...
Yeah.
You don't need to have this 300-pound Perkins Brailler. And then remember they tried... I don't know if you ever seen one of these, but they had the plastic Perkins Brailler.
I never saw one of those.
Yeah, I liked it. But mine was broken within a matter of, like, weeks.
I don't doubt it. Now, they had one called the Cranmer Perkins Brailler in the 80s, like 84 or something. And I think those were notorious for giving trouble. But it was a... It was basically a Perkins Brailler modified with an electronic braille keyboard and serial interface so that it could be used to actually emboss braille on a single sheet.
Oh, so
or you could write on it.
It was like a real braille version of a Mountbatten?
I guess. I don't really even know what the Mountbatten was.
It was basically like an electronic Perkins Brailler. With speech.
Yeah, and you could write on it. This one you could write on it manually, or you could send text to it from a computer, and it would braille it.
Did it do like the like an embosser?
Kinda, not really. It had more of the Perkins mechanism, so it didn't write as fast as an actual embosser would. You're listening to the Old Technology Reminiscence Show.
Yeah, we should actually call it that, because literally that's all we've talked about.
Toss up. End game music.
This is the Old Technology Show. Right here on the TBRN TV network. TVRN. The Visual Radio Network.
Whatever.
This
For
is
more
the
information about our great programming, please call the telephone number on your screen.
Yeah.
For a back catalog of all of our archives, send check or money order for the amount shown to the address listed.
The Visual Radio Network ran by blind people. This should be great.
Yeah. You too can receive a professionally archived copy of this show on 178 RPM record.
Oh dear.
That would not be possible.
Yeah.
I remember hearing I wasn't around for this obviously, but there was a commercial in the 70s for a Christmas album, one of these TV special things, and they said you could get it on vinyl, cassette, or 8-track.
That was
Tritone by Andre Louis.
Yeah. The Tritone song.
Yes.
Of course, the Tritone has changed slightly, so it's not exactly relevant.
Hey, do you have a copy of his song Boot Up the Computer or whatever it is?
Reboot the Machine?
I bet that's what it's called, or Boot the Machine or something like that. You know, that would be kind of appropriate for this show. And you might, I don't even know if you would even be able to figure out why.
Oh, actually, I do know why, and I know what you're talking about. I just don't know the name of it, but I have it. Let's see if I... Boot up the PC. Here it is.
Yes! And for those of you who don't know, that is the sound that most floppy drives would make when the computer tested moving their heads back and forth as part of the power on self test.
Oh, yes. Fun stuff. Now, he did actually make a song called Reboot the Machine, which is like the first song he made on his new machine or something like that, I think.
Now, an Apple II... Hey, you want an old technology? I can show you some old technology. Hang on just a minute here. Take you into the other room with me. Turn. Turn this disc over. It's a 5 1/4 inch disc. And I'm going to... That was the sound of the drive door closing. Let's reboot this computer. This is an Apple IIgs booting off a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk.
Text popper installed. Mappy.
That comes up quick.
Yeah. Now, that's a disk I made that has a special fast version of DOS 3.3 on it.
How is it special?
It's faster.
How so?
Faster than just the standard Apple DOS. Somebody back in the 80s figured out how to make some optimizations in the DOS code so it, like, didn't waste much time reading stuff off the disk like the actual Apple DOS did.
I see.
And that first sound you heard, that was it repositioning the head to track zero, because it doesn't have any way of knowing where the head is. So it has to assume it's at the very end of the disc, and if it's not, you're going to get that brrrr as it hits up against the stop.
Oh, that makes sense. That would be sad if hard drives still ran like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't do that because they can't have their heads crashing up against the... You know,
I don't even think SSDs have heads anymore. I don't think they read like that.
No. Well, SSDs don't, because it's all flash.
What deck talk is that?
Deck Talk Express. I was just checking on my WGET.
Oh, you use a Deck Talk Express?
On my Linux box.
You can do that?
Well, you could as of several years ago when I last updated the kernel.
That's interesting. It seems like it's almost more responsive than eSpeak.
I cannot stand eSpeak.
That's funny, I like eSpeak. But not on an OS that has more than eSpeak.
There there are some people, eSpeak seems to be the kind of thing where either you love it or you hate it.
Yeah. I'm kind of in between, though. I can use it, but if I have another option, I won't.
Yeah.
Now, people are kind of starting to get more into, like, natural voices these days. Like, I see people using acapella voices and nuanced voices and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. Now, the new nuanced Samantha Compact voice is really good. I wish I had that for NVDA. Now you can use it with JAWS, but you can't use it with NVDA just yet.
Yeah. Or some of us call it the squishalized Samantha voice.
Go, Andre.
Yes, go, Andre. And yes, I know what I'm kind of humming along is totally off key.
Let's see what this VM is up to. Let's see if I can get VO on right now. Oh dear. I think it broke it. Oh man.
I think it died.
Hold on. It didn't die.
Voiceover on application. Login. Window. Users. Scroll area. Has keyboard. Guest user. Mason Armstrong. Group. Press Mason.
This should be using Sierra now.
Security agent has no windows.
Oh, man. It interrupted my plan.
Security engine has no window.
Switching to
why
user.
Why would an engine have a window?
Didn't continue.
It said security agent.
Back. Set up iCloud later button.
Oh.
Dark Flare 0 user picture button. Welcome. Set up iCloud. Back. Continue. But press continue button. Back. Set up iCloud later button. You are currently on a button. This item is dimmed. Continue, dimmed, but back, set, busy, iCloud.
I would say, I would continue if I could, voiceover, but... Well, we got about 10 minutes left of this show. It went by fast. Yeah. I know I sure had fun talking about old tech.
4:49 p.m.
I guess I should spend a couple minutes talking about my vacation. So I was in Florida all last week. We went on Saturday, and we did things like jet skiing, parasailing. I got to ride a moped, which was kind of fun. And then, yeah, that. I mean, it wasn't really anything. It was only like 4 or 5 days, so we didn't get very much done. But it was pretty fun. It was...
Yeah, I've been to Florida a few times.
It was around 80 degrees down there the whole time, so for those of you who are in colder states, be jealous.
Yeah, unless you like the cold weather. Sometimes I'm in between. My dad really likes the cold weather.
I do too, actually. I would rather be hot, or I would rather be cold than sunburned.
I like the snow.
Yeah, I like walking in snow.
Yeah. And I like to look at snow, how it makes the ground all white.
Oh, I only have light perception, so...
Well, I only have light perception too, but it's...
I notice it does make it still a lot brighter out.
It like does.
You can tell when there's snow on the ground.
Yes.
Let's see about that VM.
Back, continue button, back, setup, let, setup iCloud. Would you like to set up iCloud keychain? Setup, press setup, let, setup iCloud key, setup later, selected, radio but back, continue, press continue, dimmed button. You are currently on a bus, busy, progress indicator.
Progress
you are currently
indicator.
On a progress indi-
You are currently on a progress indicator.
To switching to user, Mason Armstrong.
Oh yeah, whatever, you do that.
Space with Finder desktop, terminal, Mason, login,
Finder. Oh look at that, it came back up with everything I had open before.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Finder, desktop, El Capitan, Finder.
Well, this is not El Capitan anymore, or shouldn't be.
Get info. Now in 0KB, modified, yesterday, general, kind, folder, size, 0 bytes, zero, where? Finder has no windows. Doc, find. Get info. Now in 0KB, modified, desktop. Desktop image.
What?
Close window. Now in desktop, Finder. Finder has no windows.
There's nothing on my
Doc,
Finder?
Finder, desktop, El Capitan retail byte. El Capitan Retail by Tech Reviews. Get info. Now in El Capitan. Modified.
Oh,
today,
here we
1.
Go.
At General. Kind. Volume. Created. October 2. Modified. Today. Version. 10.11.6. Version.
Oh, it's
you are currently in a text element inside of a spoiler.
11.6.
Format. macOS Extended
yes.
Journal.
Oh, I think I would
10.10 was...
I think I would actually have to go into the App Store and update it by hitting the Get It button.
Right.
I
yeah.
Just update and get it that way.
A software update would just bring you up to date with your current OS, not put you a whole new OS on.
Right.
Close all.
Now, the dilemma I was having was I don't know if it would get rid of the fact that it thought it was a MacBook if I updated. Let's see that.
Messages 11/19. Map Finder desktop. El Capitan Retail by Tech Reviews volume. Messages window. iMessage. Edit text has keyboard
nope.
focus. You are currently in text area.
Still works.
Finder, desktop.
Alright, I guess I'll take the plunge. Here we go.
Applications, now in App Store application, open. You are currently on a table.
As you can see, this runs pretty well on here.
Yeah.
I gave it 4 gigs of RAM and 2 cores. So about what you would get on a MacBook Air, maybe.
Find App Store, one new item.
Yep, I have one new item. Let's see what it is.
Finder, App Store, OS Updates Group, with 5 items. App OS Updates Group, restart required. Heading level 2, heading level 2, Safari 10.0.3. You are currently
okay.
On a text element, heading level 2. Updates are available for security updates 201600431. Install all available software updates. Stop in App Updates Group, 0 item.
Okay.
Stop in App 1. Pop up update all button. Mac OS update group with 3 items. 3 link. Learn more. Free upgrade button.
Let's do it.
Press item was removed. Updates HTML content.
What?
Updates HTML content. Interact update all button. Mac OS update group with 3 link. Free upgrade. Forward. Dimmed button. Busy. Progress. Featured radio button. Stop in. Toolbar. Updates HTML. Mac OS update. Link. 0%. Update all. Mac OS update group with 93 KB at 4.95 GB. 6 hours 52 minutes.
Oh boy. Well, there it goes.
Have fun downloading all of that over your satellite internet.
I will. Look it.
You are currently
it's
on radio
going...
button. In top charts, radio, category, stop, updates, HTML, update all, map, link, learn, 11.5 MB at 4.95 GB, 2 hours, 5, 6 minutes.
See, it's
you are currently on a text element.
Won't take that long.
And the time is now.
Yeah. We got 5 minutes.
4:55.
I actually enjoyed this show.
Or 355, where are you
on? This show is fun.
Yeah.
I'll call this, like, the talking show, and I'm not right on my mic. Sorry about that. But, yeah.
Are you archiving, or do you want my archive, or?
I'm archiving now. I forgot to...
Yeah.
See, the problem was I forgot to back up my streams directory. I forgot I was saving all my streams on my internal hard drive, so I didn't back them up when I reinstalled Windows. And I didn't even think about it. Didn't give it a second thought. But thankfully, you saved the day.
Yes.
I appreciate
that. And those
that.
Are... what I sent you are just your shows, and they don't have anything before or after them, because I was able to extract just your shows.
I gotcha.
As they were broadcast.
The only sad thing is I lost my decompressed FLAC versions, but that's not really a big deal.
Yeah.
Mac update all. Dim. Update. Mac OS update. 3. Link. 1% purchase. Radio button. Updates. Selected.
I hate how this just kicks me out of here.
Item chooser menu. What? Link. Group. 1%. 71.8 megabytes of 4.95 gigabytes.
Yeah,
updates.
That's sure flying.
Keyboard commander on.
February 19th, 1:57 p.m.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm real sure.
Oh, God.
It's in the wrong time zone, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's have some really slow speech. And say that you're listening to TBRN,
the
Beyond Radio Network.
Why? Space 0 3 1 0 space O apostrophe O Y O E space I E N space up E space B B E H T T O N space A D space E Y D space A D O space E T O K period.
Here you go, Jason.
You're listening to TBRN, the Beyond Radio Network.
The Beyond Radio Network? Right.
Whatever.
Well, oops. 2 minutes.
It is now
4:58 p.m.
4:58 p.m.
3:58 for you, I assume.
Yep. I think we already heard this bed, didn't we?
I don't know. It's an RS Games bed.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? What's next? We heard that, I know. Oh, I like this one.
That is the bed you started your very first show with.
It is, isn't it? That first show is a flop.
Well, that was the one where you did Swamp. No, was it Swamp? I know, you know, you did Top Speed.
I did Top Speed, Crazy Party, and then the one after that was Swamp, I believe.
Yeah, Swamp and Road to Rage, maybe?
Yeah. I did play RTR all by myself for 10 minutes before I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm done with this.
And then I don't know what you did on New Year's Eve.
I did RS
because
Games.
I didn't actually listen to that show because I had other stuff going on.
I played Tube Simulator, and I also played... Oh, I should probably get off because I don't know if Arfie's doing a show or not. So it was fun, and... I hope you enjoyed the show, and let me find my Eggcast window, and I'll be out of here. Alright, laters.